Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who joins us. Brett, what's up? Been a while. How you doing?
I know, doing well. Dr. Crane, congrats on your hog. I was able to pick out a cow a couple years ago up in White House. Had the privilege of going up there and picking out the cow, and I picked it out, and the cow kind of gave me the look with the eyes, whatever a cow can do, and I kind of felt bad for about 2 seconds, and then I said, "You are going to taste mighty fine." So
yes,
thank you, Brett.
Those are my last words. So congratulations.
And did he taste mighty fine?
He did taste mighty fine on that grill. I'll tell you that.
That's
much.
Good.
Real quick, Brett, Chase years ago also picked out a cow, but it was on Broadway.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, it's Monday.
I'm sorry.
Womp womp.
We'll get there. I'm sorry.
We are officially in the off season, and, you know, there wasn't that much to really take from minicamp. I mean, I thought Cam Ward looked like a rookie. You know, everybody was talking about, you know, they was getting on the same page with, you know, some of his receivers, and which was obviously Calvin Ridley being the one that kind of stood out to everybody. What was kind of your process when minicamp was done? Did you just get away, turn it off, and just really focus on family time and vacation? Or were there little things that you tried to do to kind of stay both physically and mentally ready when training camp opened?
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of, you know, you could call it the quote-unquote off-season. You get a nice little break. But, you know, I mean, we took a week, head down to the beach, right, just to kind of relax and, you know, just spend some really quality family time. Because once training camp starts, your next time that you get with the family really is, you know, when the season's over with. So it was nice to get that for a week. But even still down there, you're working out. And then really you're just kind of prepping for training camp. And so, you know, a lot of times I would try to go punt, you know, on turf. At the hottest part of the day, you know, to simulate just training camp, right? You know, these guys are going to be going down to Tampa. They're going down to Atlanta to practice. And I think at that point, it might be more mental for them just because of the heat and trying to stay focused, you know, for those practices. But, yeah, I mean, I kept a routine. Sometimes I'd go punt on a Sunday at noon just to simulate, you know, games on Sunday and sun angles and, you know, kind of heat and all that stuff. You know, I mean, September down here can still be pretty toasty, and especially on that turf. So I think it's just important for the guys, veterans, they know what they're doing. The young guys really just kind of staying in shape, in essence, to where they come in and they're ready to go. I think it's important for Cam and these receivers to be working. Because really, when you think about it, if they report on the 22nd, first practice on the 23rd, they'll have roughly 9 to 10 practices before they're going down to Tampa and having, you know, joint sessions with the Bucs. And so that is going to happen really quick. Training or mini camp, you kind of have a little bit of things thrown at you and, you know, paces picked up a little bit, but really camp, you know, it excels quickly in the pace and the install and all that kind of stuff. So these guys really got to be rip roaring, ready to go on the same page. Cause that Tampa practice, is going to come pretty quick. And then he followed up with Atlanta. And then next thing you know, preseason's done and you're heading into week one.
Brett Kern is with us. Do you feel like those joint practices are really going to be when we see, okay, Cam Ward's ready to be the starter, or maybe there's a few things that he needs to continue to work on and maybe we should rethink this going into week one? Do you think those joint practices are really what's going to tell us that?
Yeah, I mean, because I think Cam will be going against the ones, right? He'll be going against you know, Tampa's defense, who we going against Atlanta's defense and the ones. And so I think if anything, you'll see the reps shake out, how they're going to shake out. You'll see guys kind of climb the depth chart, maybe fall in the depth chart, who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos. And usually those joint practices, the threes and fours don't really get anything. And so this is kind of for guys, to get those reps without having to play any game. And so, I do think, you know, you'll see a lot will shake out, relatively early. You maybe might see that in the first part of camp, but I really think, you know, those joint practices, you'll start to see things shake out. And it's great too. Like you know, it's not the ones against the ones in training camp. You're going against a totally different group of guys, right? The defensive coordinator wants to work on things. He wants to work on his blitz packages and coverages and red zone. And, you know, the same for the Titans. Like, they want to work on stuff too. And so it's really a fresh look, a new look to where, I mean, at times, you know, the ones on defense know, okay, this is what they're doing. This is their formation. This is the route concept they're running. We can go off of that, right? Oh, this is a run, because you're going against each other all the time. And so you see those tendencies, formations, all the stuff that you can pick on. And usually it gives the defense an advantage, right? But, you know, you go down against these joint practices and you really have nothing to prepare for. It's really kind of the kitchen sink is thrown at you. And it's really a good test on all phases, right? Special teams, you know, offense, defense, special teams. It's like, hey, we've been running these punt rushes against our own guys and it gets kind of mundane at times. But now here we're going up against somebody totally different. I don't know his moves. I don't know his up and under. I don't know how he rushes, how he bull rushes, all that kind of stuff on a punt rush. And so I definitely think you'll see – I'm excited. I loved them personally because it was something different, and it actually felt like you were in a game almost, but obviously not in a game. But it was – I really like the joint practices, so I hope that the Titans can get a lot out of the two sessions that they have.
Talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe show. Brett, you ever heard of a football player, a professional football player by the name of David Benn?
Yeah, he's a long snapper.
Yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 18 years in the National Football League. And I bring that up to bring up a friend of yours in Morgan Cox. 16 years in the league coming up. Morgan, these long snappers are amazing. Once they get and do this, they have a nice career. Morgan Cox this week, Brett, was named to the ESPN All-Quarter Century team as long snapper. Now, when you look at, you know, the quarterback, running back, y'all, all that, that's a huge honor that went under the radar. You know Morgan Cox. You know how good he is. Yep. How good is he?
Since a lot of people don't know about long snapping and how detailed you have to be, Morgan is an amazing long snapper. I texted him when I found out and just congratulated him because how he goes about his job, how he goes about the detail, you know, when he's snapping to the point where, you know, I feel like I could hold up a half dollar on a punt snap of where I want the ball on a right punt or a left punt, and it's there, right?
Oh,
short snaps. You know, laces are so important. And I think I've told you guys this before that the seasons I was with him, I think the one season of all the field goal short snaps that we had, I think there were only three. You know, you look at the clock as a window, right, as your kind of your 12 o'clock is where you want the laces. And I think I only had three that were between 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So really the laces weren't faced towards the field goal post. Because for someone, you know, a holding, right, usually if it's between 9 and 3 facing the field goal post, that's an easy turn. That's a quarter turn. That's not very hard. But, you know, when the laces are facing towards you, away from the field goal post, that's a harder turn because you have to do it quickly. You kind of have to adjust, you know, the way you're holding it with your fingers and your wrist movement. And I think I had three that year. And so the level of consistency that he has is unbelievable. And so very happy for him. And you all have to keep in mind that he's doing this all upside down.
Right. Yes.
So it's a huge accomplishment for him. Very well deserved. And really happy for him.
So let's get this straight again. What's the time, snap time? Is it 0.75? Under a second to get the ball to you? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, punt snaps, if you can be between 0.6. If you're at 0.6, that's coming back at about 45 miles an hour. 0.7 is roughly, you know, obviously a little bit less than that. But if you can be between 0.6, 0.7, that ball is humming over 40. 0.75, it's a little bit under 40. You know, your general goal is to get it off in about 2.05. That's a pretty good get off time. So the level of consistency for that, and then short snaps is just, that's all touch and feel. To know, you know, if you're warming up, you know, Morgan and I would be communicating, and you know, the snap would come back and it's at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know, three or four in a row. He'd be like, okay, let me just adjust my hands on the ball, and then shoop, it comes back 12 o'clock, bam, got it, right? So you know, short snaps are more of a rhythm. You know, in field goal, if you can be between, you know, 125, 130, 135 is good. When you start getting over 135, teams will start kind of keying off on the edges with that as far as rushing.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've had parents ask me about their son's a quarterback, and I'm like, go long snap. Well, we didn't go think long. About – yeah, go long snap because you get paid too. And Morgan Cox and David Benn are great examples of getting scholarships, paid for, going to college, and then make – you just never know. And I tell kids, learn how to long snap. It's not going to hurt you if you could do that.
No, I mean, currently right now, you know, coaching over at the FRA, and we got about 5 or 6 kids trying to learn how to long snap. So if you can handle being upside down, you know, and if you can throw the ball, it's very similar to throwing the ball. And it's just obviously now you're using your hips and your legs really to kind of get it back there to get some power on it. So, you know, you got to have the right size. You know, it's kind of, you know, there's some teams out there, you know, the Colts with Luke Rhodes, what they did is, and he's a linebacker, you know, 6'2", 6'3", you know, 240-ish, right? And he's a linebacker. And so they were trying to teach, you know, him when he was on the practice squad as a linebacker how to long snap. And obviously he picked it up and figured it out. And now I think he's going into year 8 or 9 as a long snapper from a converted linebacker. So,
All right, let's see if I'm correct in this. With the Titans, you had 3, right?
Sounds right. Yeah.
Ken Amano, Bo Brinkley.
Morgan Cox. And then Overton. Matt Overton came in the COVID year.
That's right. I remember him.
Yeah.
Now, because Bo got sick or hurt or something.
Yeah. And then here's another one. Mike Leach, former Titans tight end. That he came in with Alan Lowry. Alan was said, hey, look, I'm not sure about tight end. Why don't you do life upside down, learn how to snap? And I think he played 18 years as well. And he was actually my first long snapper in Denver, Mike Leach was.
Oh, wow. Okay. But Ken Amato was your first one here?
Yes.
Yep, there you go. One question I was going to ask you, because Joe and I have been doing the Nashville Cats games, and I was fascinated, you know, there's no punting in the arena game, but there's, you know, there's kicking, and a lot of the kickoffs are from the tee, just like you would have in the NFL. But I was fascinated watching the kicker be so meticulous about setting the ball up on the tee. Can you kind of take us through that? Because it's just like you holding that you want the laces in a certain spot and the ball positioned correctly, right?
Gosh, what a great way to start your Monday on physics right here on kicking. yeah, in essence, really, you know, if you have the ball straight up and down, right, that's for a righty or lefty, that's going to tend to promote a draw. And the more you lean the ball towards the right for a righty, or if someone's holding more towards your holder, the more you lean it, that's more going to promote a cut, right? And so a lot of times guys know like their foot angle, their attack angle. Some like it straight up and down just based on their foot angle coming in. Some like a little bit of lean on it. With their angle, they like to hit a cut. Some guys like to hit a little draw. Ryan Succop hit about a 2-yard draw every single time, right? Rob Baronis liked a little bit of extra lean. And so his go-to was a little baby cut. And so it just depends on how they like it, what kind of ball flight they prefer. But just a little bit, if, you know, for example, if, you know, you have a 50 yarder and you're holding, and they like a little bit of tilt, and you hold it straight up and down on a 50 yarder and there's a little bit of wind, that is plenty enough error, you know, maybe by an inch, that inch alone from 50 yards is plenty enough for you to miss it wide left. Same thing, you know, if you lean it too much, it might cut too much in order to miss it wide right. So there's really not a lot of error, you know, an inch at most of the times with field goals. And the more you go back, you know, 45 plus, 50 plus, it has to be, you know, not perfect, but pretty darn close to get the ball flight that they want, you know, how they want the ball to look, what they're planning on. Like, hey, this is my target. I want a little bit of a cut. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's just very, very detailed.
Hey, Greg sent me a note and said, my son wants to be a punter, getting involved in athletics. What's the best exercise for him to strengthen his leg?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to kind of strengthen in your leg, but I would just tell him it's all about your flexibility. If you're not flexible, you know, the quicker you can get your leg through it, and the power that comes with flexibility, is way more important, than like how strong you are. For example, there's guys, you know, you're fooling around in training camp sometimes before practice, and I'm out there punting and you might have somebody come out that's, you know, 6'4". You might have a tight end that comes out 6'4", you know, 260, just built like a Greek goddess, right? And they can't punt a ball, you know, 30 yards. Well, they can't get their leg up over their hip. So really the only power that they're generating is about 90 degrees worth of power from the ground to your waistline, right? Brian Moorman, for example, he's the one that got lit up in the Pro Bowl that one year. But he, you know, he was a national champion, I think 300 or maybe the 400 in the hurdles, right? He was maybe 6'1", probably 175 soaking wet, but he had no problem getting his leg. He probably gave himself a bloody nose with his knee. That's how high up he could get his leg. And this guy could go out there and hit 5-second, 60-yard punts in Buffalo like it was nothing.
Wow.
And so it wasn't necessarily like, hey, I'm going to go in the weight room and I can put 400 pounds on a squat rack and look what I can do. It's how quick your leg is and the flexibility. And in order to get the leg speed, you got to be flexible. Because if you're not flexible and you're still trying to power up and through it, you're going to throw out your hamstrings, your back. The whole posterior chain is messed up.
Good Lord.
Wow. Good insights. We appreciate the physics lesson and
anatomy too.
And anatomy.
Thank you, bro. Hey, anytime, guys. You want to do? We can call this session. Get it sponsored by somebody, some local doctor's office. You know, something like that. We could just talk anatomy of football. And I mean, you look at like Tyreek or Halliburton last night, right? He's got the calf strain. Unfortunately, you know, your body naturally protects what's hurt, and so what compensates, what takes the load off the hamstring? Well, it's either going to be your knees or your Achilles. And unfortunately, you know, the Achilles popping last night, it's just unfortunate. So,
yeah, it definitely was tough to see. Brett, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great Monday.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program as he always does on Monday.